Okay, it's a tremendous pleasure, and we were talking about practical Kirov tonight, and I think that being practical in Kirov is aware of any type of tool that's out there to engage someone in conversation. Let's be honest. The beginning of Kirov, probably the middle of Kirov, and even the Hemshech or the end of Kirov, is about relating to people. And all of us, I think, on a pretty regular basis, are looking for common ground to be able to relate to people when it comes to Kirov. If you don't have the common ground, if you don't have the medium of conversation, then it becomes something which is very difficult. Fortunately or unfortunately, probably more unfortunately, the current situation with Eretz Yisrael is very fertile ground for a conversation. Number one, I think everybody understands that there's a certain power about Eretz Yisrael. Many Jews who have no connection, who are not observant, but somehow feeling connected to Eretz Yisrael, traveling to Eretz Yisrael, supporting Eretz Yisrael, being involved in some level, creates a very, very powerful bond with Judaism. In fact, the entire birthright movement that exists today was built upon the premise that just exposing a young person, a college student, or a young person to the Avira of Eretz Yisrael in some way is able to help that person relate to and bond with Eretz Yisrael and bond with their own Judaism, which I think is very valid and very, very powerful. We all know many, many students who will tell you something. You ask them, like, how did you become frum? And they'll say something like, well, you know, I met my local rabbi, and he started me getting me to come to certain functions, and then someone appeared, and then someone offered me a free trip to Israel, and of course, once I went to Israel, the rest was history. And in fact, it is a powerful bond. Of course, all by itself, it's not usually enough. The trip has to be made certainly meaningful. But there's no question that Yisrael has a powerful allure for the Jewish people. So just the fact that there's something going on in Eretz Yisrael and talking about Eretz Yisrael is powerful. Number two, I think everyone recognizes that there's an international double standard when it comes to the behavior. That a story right now that was produced by AP, and it says something like, Israeli attack on UN personnel causes the United Nations to stop aid, right? And if you read the earlier accounts today, it was made very, very clear that no one really knows in the end who fired upon this convoy, whether it was an Israeli or not. So forget about being fair, but honest reporting would require that you say attack on UN personnel causes UN to rethink its policy, and that's fine. And if you don't want to say that it was perhaps a Palestinian, don't say it, but at least be fair enough. But immediately, people always assume the worst when it comes to the Jewish people. When rockets are flying and attacking Eretz Yisrael at the rate of thousands per year, literally thousands per year, then when Eretz Yisrael decides to defend its own citizens, suddenly it becomes an international incident. This is an overreaction. There was a lack of balance in the response. And if you think about it for a moment, it's absolutely insane that this is called a lack of balance, because ultimately, what do they want us to do? That we should send missiles in populated areas? I mean, like, what is it that they want us to do? What's a balanced response? That they're telling us we can send missiles in those kinds of areas. So when Israel, whatever Israel does, it's like darned if they do and darned if they don't. And so why would that be? What is it about the Jewish people that somehow we become the target of this? And is it simple anti-Semitism? Or perhaps, maybe, there is Hashgacha Pratis where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us that maybe we do need to answer to a different standard. Maybe the whole world knows that we really are on some level, or are supposed to be, an Am Segula. It provides a tremendous opportunity for discussion as to what is Judaism about? Like, what is it about the Jews that, you know, you could have headlines made on the front page of the New York Times because someone threw a rock, because some Palestinian threw a rock at a car. Or some Israeli, you know, went and said something about the right of Israel to manage its own affairs, that it makes the front page. And in the meantime, in Somalia, they're killing 10,000 people. It's buried somewhere on page 56B. You know, like, what is going on here? Why is it that the world is so busy with the Jewish people? In terms of the actual halacha of what is supposed to happen when Eretz Yisrael goes and fights for itself or to defend itself, again, there's such a fertile ground for talking about it, such a fertile ground for being able to learn about the matzav in Eretz Yisrael when it comes to overcoming our feeling of helplessness over the current situation and being able to do something about it, which, by the way, it is human nature that we don't like feeling helpless and we love being in control. And we watch how Eretz Yisrael has been buffeted about. What a fantastic opportunity exists for people to get involved in something like honestreporting.com. I remember when honestreporting.com got started, I was from the first subscribers to it. And basically, for those of you who don't know what it is, it's a very simple thing whereby some college student who was not from at the time, who Baruch Hashem is one of our leaders today, but some college student was on a fellowship trip to Israel, and the accounts of what he read in the papers so did not jive with what he finally saw when he was on the ground there at Israel that he said, someone's got to set the media straight. And very naively, he went about to organizing a group of people that whenever there was something in the media that they saw that was simply incorrect, and certainly when it was less than complimentary to Eretz Yisrael, was anti-Eretz Yisrael, what they did was they would send emails to the people who wrote the story. They'd send emails to the publishers of that magazine or periodical. And what started literally with a group of maybe, I think when I joined, I was like member 121 or something, within a very short amount of time became literally tens of thousands. Now imagine if you are sitting at your desk at the New York Times after having published a particularly unsavory story about Eretz Yisrael, and suddenly you have your email box clogged with 140,000 emails. It's going to kind of put a little crimp in your day. You're going to have to pay some attention to it. And initially, of course, what had happened was that the New York Times even mentioned honestreporting.com in less than a flattering light. But as time went on, they recognized and started to realize that this was a force with which they had to contend. And literally, the New York Times withdrew stories that they had published. In fact, one of the things that started the latest intifada, which was the picture of that bloody child who was seemingly the victim of Israeli brutality, and as proof of that, they published a picture in the New York Times of these Israeli soldiers pointing their guns at this bloodied kid. And it was reported the kid was an Arab, and these were people who were simply brutalizing him. Because of honestreporting.com, it became very, very clear that that child was an American yeshiva boy. He was a kid from Long Island, actually, who was learning in Eretz Israel, who had just been beaten up by a vicious mob of Arabs. And the Israelis were, instead of pointing the guns at him, they were pointing the guns at those who were taunting him. They were protecting him, in fact. And what gave rise to the original, to the intifada, the most recent intifada, in fact, was an outright lie. They also went ahead and they identified some of the pictures of Israeli bombings during the action that they had taken when they went into Jenin, which was considered a massacre, and they saw that some of the pictures were faked. There were other attacks that supposedly that were occurring by Israelis, which in fact were fakes, and they showed you using Photoshop and the methodology that was used to fake the photos, and in fact got major, major, major media to retract those stories. For a not yet from Jew to become part of that is an absolutely fantastic experience. It is extremely uplifting. And whenever anybody, Rav Noach Weinberg Shlita, always holds that whenever you get somebody radicalized for the Jewish people, when you get them on your side, you get them fighting for the Jewish people, it automatically brings them to a tremendous connection to Klal Yisrael. So there's a whole lot of things that people can actually do as a result of some of the negativity and the negative news that's going on about Eretz Yisrael that can literally make someone feel a whole lot more Jewish, that causes someone to think, well, what is it about being Jewish in the first place that we're being so attacked this way? Why is it that the world feels this way about us? And then what can I do to help my own people? It's extremely empowering from a spiritual standpoint. In my shiur that I gave on Monday night, we spoke about what practical things can we do as a frum community to try to help Achenu B'nai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And the first thing I did was I pointed out that we like to think that they are fighting this war. And that is a tremendous mistake. There is no such thing as an us and they in Klal Yisrael. We are Am Echad. We're meant to be Am Echad. Chazal tell us, Yisrael v'raisa v'kitshabrichu chadhu. The Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Klal Yisrael is all one. So I said once, b'medvar mamurim, when is it said, when is it stated that we're all one, that we could have this achdus of Klal Yisrael and Torah and a Kadosh Baruch Hu? is when Klal Yisrael on its own is already one. But if Klal Yisrael is more than one, if we're fractured, if there are factions among us, and we don't take our own achdus seriously, then what tends to happen is there can be obviously no achdus with us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's already, we're already more than one, and therefore you cannot become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, we see from Chazal over and over and over again that it's the achdus of Klal Yisrael that brings us to Kabbalah Satayra. It's the achdus of Klal Yisrael that brings us to anything that's out there that is of a spiritually uplifting nature. To the extent that we are not Echot, to the extent that we're fractured, we're not Zechet to Kabbalah Satayra. Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Ahar. Yeshua, as we pointed out many times, loses his battle in the city called Ai because of the fact that in the process of identifying the family of Achan and the people who took from the Cherem, it was done, the Chafetz Chaim explains very clearly, in a way that was wrong. And it represented a lack of achdus. And because of that, Yeshua, who's a Tzadik Yisrael Olam, who's the hand-picked Yairish of Moshe Rabbeinu, he loses an eye. On the other hand, Achav, who's the most evil person in the world, Achav is the Oichi Yisrael, according to Eliyahu Navi, who, by the way, is not exaggerating. He's a Navi Hashem. He's not given to exaggerate. Achav is victorious in every battle he ever fights on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Because during his reign, somehow, the Yidden found a way to be unified. And unity is going to protect us each and every time. To the extent that we can unify with each other, the people of Hamas, if you can call them people, it's an exaggeration, but the people of Hamas do not stand a chance. To the extent that we unify, then all the Hezbollah missiles don't stand a chance. To the extent that we are one people, then everything that happens to Klal Yisrael, as dangerous as it may sound, is simply not going to be successful. There's an extremely inspiring message that, by the way, would be a great idea to steer people to, given by Rabbi Metzger, the chief rabbi of Israel. And he makes exactly this point. And he says, right now, the Jewish people are in a matzav, they're in a situation of achdus. Every political party, every stripe, every person in Israel, right now, is on the same side. When they took a poll recently, they found that 81% of the country, which, by the way, for Israel is a remarkable number, was supporting the operation in Gaza. 85% of the people, they were there and they were saying that, you know what, that we're doing the right thing by protecting other members of Klal Yisrael. It was 81% of the people voting for Achdus of Klal Yisrael. It's a remarkable time right now. And what we need to do is to understand that we really, really are one nation now, we're one people. And therefore, the war that they're fighting is not their war, but it's our war. Reb Hill David Shlita told us a wonderful story many years ago at Hashal Hashudas, involving Reb Shlomo Freifeld, Zichron Lebracha. Shlomo Freifeld was one of the earliest effective Makarvim, and Yeshiva Shayoshev to this day is really a monument of Kiruv, Kiruv Krivim, but the monument nonetheless to Kiruv. And he was once in Eretz Yisrael riding an Eged bus, and he was sitting next to a not yet from what they call a Chiloni. And being the gregarious Makarev that he was, he turns to his seatmate, and he starts moving with him. And he notices that the seatmate is rather uncomfortable. So he asks him, why is it that you don't want to talk to me? And the seatmate says, because you people are simply not participating in the defense of Eretz Yisrael. You are avoiding serving in the army. You don't defend the country. You don't participate. My son has to send him to the army. I served in the army. And you people, you're simply sponging off the land. So Shlomo Freifeld looked at him and he said, I just want to correct one mistake that you have. He said, it would seem to you that we're not participating in the defense of Eretz Yisrael. But the reality is that we are. And the way we're participating is in Torah. The way we participate is that when we uphold the Zchusim and we do the mitzvahs, that we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes mercy on us, he protects us. So the only time you could have on me is not that I'm not fighting, but that I'm choosing, I have the wrong choice of weapons. You have your weapons and we have ours. Don't go telling me I'm not participating. When there's a war in Eretz Yisrael, I don't sleep at night. I'm up all night saying Tehillim. When there's a war in Eretz Yisrael, I'm davening for the welfare of Achinu B'nai Yisrael. When there's a war in Eretz Yisrael, I'm learning extra Sedarim. When there's a danger to Eretz Yisrael, I don't sleep at night, I don't eat, I fast Tanesim. So you can kinda, I have the wrong choice of weapons, but don't tell me that I'm not involved. This is an emes lamita shel Torah. We are at war. They are not at war, but we are at war. We are at war in Eretz Yisrael today. Every one of those children, every one of those soldiers is someone's child. Every one of them is someone's anikel. Every one of them is someone's father, someone's mother, someone's nephew, someone's grandchild. Every one of them is a full-fledged member of Klal Yisrael. Every one of them is putting his life on the line to protect Klal Yisrael. Every one of them is mamash kadosh. Every one of them, Chalila, who passes on, dies on Kiddush Hashem because they're dying for no other reason than the Arabs and the Rishayim want to destroy us. That's the only reason that they're dying. So we mele, when they're putting their lives on the line for us, then they assume a tremendous level. They assume a tremendous, tremendous Kedusha. And therefore, what they're doing really is that they're fighting on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, we have to understand that we have our job in the army as well. In today's parsha, Yaakov Avinu gives a gift to Yosef. He gives him Shechem Echad Alachecha, Asher Lakachti Becharbi Bekashti. So Targum Unkelus teaches, what's Becharbi Bekashti? My sword and my bow. Betzalusi Uva'usi, that I do with my tefillah. You see very clearly, it's in Yonah the Yomis, Mamash in today's parsha, and so amazing, I think, that it's happening at a time when Klal Yisrael is at war, that we, those of us who are able to learn, and those of us who are able to daven, and those of us who are able to do something with Klal Yisrael, say Tillim, if we were really to be realists, we would understand that we're every bit on the battlefield as much as they are. And that a Jew in America, there's so much that we could do for the Chas of Klal Yisrael. It is such an empowering thought for ourselves, but it's even more empowering to a not yet from Jew, that he knows that there's something that he could do to pray. Everyone understands prayer. Everyone understands that there's a power to prayer. When the president gets up and he addresses a particular tragedy, and he's talking about praying for the souls of the people who gave up their lives, everyone, it's become part of Western consciousness and awareness that every one of us has a spiritual connection to the other in such a way that we can give of our time and actually impact someone else's life. It's an extremely powerful idea, even to the most chiloni person, even to the most distant Jew, when they know that we can literally feel for the other and do something spiritual with the other, it's extremely empowering. And once you have someone doing something like that, you suggest to them, why don't you say a little prayer for the welfare of our soldiers? Most of the Art Scroll Siddurim that were produced by the RCA, and certainly the Birnbaum Siddurim that they used for many years with the English translation, all of them have the tefillah for the Tzva Ganali Israel. They all have it. And you know what? Among our circles, sometimes people think that it's somewhat controversial that we say it in shul. And I know that the Shaila came through Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and they asked him, are you allowed to make a Misha Berach by laning for Tzva Ganali Israel? And the way I heard it was, Shlomo Zalman stopped for a moment, he paused. He looked at the question and he said, Favos nisht. Like, where's the Aveira here, right? To daven for someone else is always okay. It's always a beautiful thing. It doesn't mean automatically that you're describing and disclosing your sheet on Eretz Yisrael. It's not what it means. It means you care about another Yid. So for the concept of caring, especially when so many of the not yet from Jews really think we don't care about them, and they really think, therefore, by extension, that we can't possibly care for the soldiers in Eretz Yisrael, many of whom are chiloni, we can't possibly care. And when we tell them that we're davening for them, and we tell them that we're fasting for them, we tell them that we're giving up sleep because of them, we tell them that we're making inuyim on ourselves, we tell them that we care so much that we're taking out extra time from davening to do extra tehillim, that many of us are learning extra mishnayos, many of us are learning extra gemara, it can't but have an absolutely positive effect on them. And when we can introduce them to the same idea, that there's prayer that they could create on behalf of these people, that they can have a spiritual connection, it's absolutely magnificent. Let's take it a step further. The Boston Rebbe Shlita, in conjunction with Rev Cook, they decided to go ahead and have this project. Shai, you remember the name. What's the name of the project?
Operation Tefillah, Torah, and Troops.
Operation Tefillah, Torah, and Troops. When I saw it, when someone sent me an email about it, as I sat there, I like slapped myself against the head and I said, why didn't I think of this? It's such a powerful concept. The Boston Rebbe brings down Chazal, where during times of war, when Klal Yisrael went to war, so those who were in battle were adopted in some way by people who were not in battle, and the people who were on the home front, the people who are at home, who were not in battle, those people would adopt someone, a specific soldier, and daven for the welfare of that soldier. And he said, there's no reason we shouldn't do it today. So what they created was an ability, you can go, you can email, and Shai, again, I hope you have the email address.
Yeah, it's maortefillah tlmo@gmail.com.
And that the first letter was an M as in Martin, correct?
Yes, it was.
So say it again. Repeat it, please, again.
M as in Martin, AORTLM as in Martin, O@gmail.com. Or it's easier, probably. You'll get a quicker response if you really just call them. And their phone number is 212-929-1525. Once again, the number is 212-929-1525.
Now, Rabbi, I can't tell you that this is going to be, if you introduce and not get front to this concept, that somehow, you know, he's going to turn around and he's going to become a Kol Yungaman or he's going to suddenly become Shemesh Shabbos. I can't tell you that. But I want to tell you something that was instantly amazing to me. Yesterday, I got my name. His name is Tzvi Ben Yardena. And I cannot tell you how differently I'm davening since I have him in mind. I cannot begin to tell you how much it changed my avodas Hashem when it comes to tefillah, and not because of anything, any heritage of Kedusha. I put a face on this. I attached a name to someone who's out there fighting for Klal Yisrael. And I know that, forget about what I'm up to, you know, Hashiva Shiftenik Varashayna, and Re'ena Vanyenu, and Yerushalayim Ircha. Not even there. But when I'm a Mechalkel Chaim B'Chesed, you can't help but steam up. You drop a tear. Mechaim Ezebrach, Seimech Neiflim, Reifei Choylim, Mati Rasurim. And you start thinking about it because every name that they give you, they also ask you to daven for Gilad Shalit, whose name is Gilad Ben Aviva. And when you say Mati Rasurim, it's a whole different thing. Your tefillah takes on a whole. You're no longer only davening for yourself and your family and your welfare, but suddenly your whole davening changes. I once heard the name of a Rebbe. He said there's an inyan al pi Kabbalah on Yom Neroyim when you say Ubechein Tein Pachtecha, that Pachtecha relates to Parnasa, relates to money. So a person, when he says Ubechein Tein Pachtecha, it says Gula, to have a special kavana there for your parnasa. So the Rebbe said the following. I'll say it first in Yiddish and then in English. He said, Pachtecha habich shen gehert meit min geld. Aber uvechein geld, tein geld, pachtecha geld. He said, that's ridiculous. Ata choyin geld, slachlanu geld. Many of us, you know, we live in America and we're worried what's uppermost in our minds, especially in a difficult economy. They're talking about an economic meltdown. They're talking about a severe recession. They're talking about all kinds of calamities that are going to come upon the financial markets. And you know what? And Taka, unfortunately, many of us are staring certainly difficult conditions in the face right now. And we are concerned. And we're davening. It's a beautiful thing to daven for it. But when you recognize that there's some kid out there, he might be 19 years old, or he might be 25 years old, or he might be 50 years old, he's got four kids at home. He's got a wife. He's got parents, elderly parents, who are crying from every single second. And you take the achrayis, and by the way, they're giving one name to a person. They do not give out this name multiple times. And this is your achrayis. This is your responsibility. This is something you must do. It completely changes the way we daven. If you're going to learn for the tzchus of that person, it completely changes your focus. You become so much better able to concentrate. It becomes so much easier to us to be able to do an avoid in a mitzvah b'shleimus. And besides the fact that it's such a wonderful thing for us to do, it expresses achdus in a way which is impossible. What are the chances that your life would intersect with this chayal's life? With this guy who might live in downtown Tel Aviv? What is the likelihood that some guy who's living in Borough Park or in Muncie or Passaic or Long Island, suddenly that your life gets to intersect in such a wonderful ruchnius way with someone out there who would have no shaykhis b'chlal to anything that you do or you're interested in. And now suddenly his life is in your hands at some level. It is so amazingly powerful. And if you could tell someone who's not yet from that this is what you're doing, and you suggest that what a meaningful thing it would be for you to adopt a soldier. I mean, to give tzedakah is fantastic. To give charity to the victims fund is wonderful. To support Eretz Yisrael at this time of Deichik, it's half of a fella. But more than that, on some level, literally, to take this man's hand in your life and assume responsibility for this person and daven your heart out and plead with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a true Magen. We talk about Magen Avram. You don't have to get to Machal Kochai. Magen Avram already, I start to steam up about them. And as you can tell, not yet from it, you've got the power to literally unify with the Jewish people, bring unity about in such a major, meaningful way. It's so hard for me to believe that a person wouldn't do it. If you could go to a not yet from Jew who understands the concept of Lashon Hara and tell him, you know what, maybe during this time to be extra careful, and when somebody wants to gossip with you, to protest for just a moment and say, you know what, I'm trying to avoid gossip because I'm trying to do it for the merit of some guy's life is on the line in Gaza right now. Like, what's the other person to say? No, I got to tell you Lashon Hara. You know, my gossip is more important than his life. What are they going to say? It's such an amazing opportunity we have for Achdus of Klal Yisrael. It's such an amazing opportunity we have for Kiruv HaChaikim. It's such an amazing opportunity that we have to model terrific behavior where we're showing clearly that we care about every Yid. And if we care about Yid and Eretz Yisrael, who are a world away from us, who are culturally, we don't even speak the same language, some of us, and we care so deeply for them, we're ready to put our lives on the line, our tefillah on the line, take responsibility for them, to do mitzvahs for them, to give tzedakah for them, then how do I feel about my fellow American Jew? How do I feel about him? What behavior am I modeling that has got to be so amazing to not just from Jew? And let's face it, guys, we all understand that one of the greatest barriers to Kiruv we have is that they think somehow that we look down upon them. It's one of the four misconceptions. What a better way to shatter that myth than to really model this behavior of caring for Yidden Eretz Yisrael. So I see so many different ways that we can use the current situation in Eretz Yisrael in order to create achdus, in order to model beautiful behavior, in order to create an exchange of ideas, in order to create a medium of conversation, which sometimes is in very short supply, because after all, what do I have to do with them? This is a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us that we're literally all one nation. We have so much in common and so much in common to speak about. So it's my hope, it's my prayer that Be'ezer Hashem, we use this situation to strengthen ourselves, to redouble our efforts, to create tremendous chusim for Klal Yisrael, to create tremendous chusim for ourselves, for our families, and Be'ezer Hashem to bring the gula close, because we understand all the concepts that we spoke about tonight are intimately connected to gula. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu Taka help us, and that we do it in the way that we know that we can. We do it in the way that we know we can step up. It just takes a renewed focus and effort. And Be'ezer Hashem B'zeicha, that this will be the last fighting that we see in Eretz Yisrael. This will be the last battles, the last tzoros that Yidden face. And that Be'ezer Hashem will all be Zeicha together to celebrate the Vi'as Goel Tzedek B'mehev Yameinu.